All right. Welcome to Pillow Talk Devotionals. That's the name, right?
That's the name.
Pillow Talk Devotionals.
Mac, Paige.
Yeah. And now they don't have to be on a pillow.
No, we are on pillows, but you definitely don't need one. But
we're doing this in bed.
This is what we do every night.
We like to talk to Scripture. Well, I mean, we don't do it when we're fighting.
No, so when we're getting along, we'll do two.
So one or two nights a week, we'll do this. Uh-huh. So what we're going to do is we're going to read Scripture and we're going to talk about it. And we have maybe a unique take on things and we'll apply it to our lives. And hopefully it'll be useful to you listening. And again, you can listen to it anywhere you want.
Yeah, we just thought that we...
On a boat?
Oh, in a boat?
In a car? On the road? In the shower? Wherever.
Yeah, wherever. But we get into some really great conversations, and so we just wanted to share a little bit of that with you.
Yeah.
So here we are.
You'll see what we'll pull the curtain back on Mac and Paige. That's a scary thought.
That's a very scary thought.
We'll pull the curtain back. We're not pulling the sheets or covers back, though.
Definitely
not. Because that's even scarier.
That's too much. All right. Too many married things.
Hey, we're going to start in Galatians.
Great.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
Love those epistles.
Mm-hmm. So good.
And this one, Galatians, is there's a tension going on behind the scenes here. And the church that Paul planted and left was being kind of attacked by Jewish people who were saying, well, you got to become a Jew before you become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the background here.
Mm.
All right, I'm going to read it and then we'll talk. So Paul, an apostle, sent from not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. To rescue us from this present evil age. We've been doing a lot of talking lately about being in the world but not of the world.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, we don't read these ahead of time. We just kind of wing it like we normally would.
I think that's probably going to be evident to everybody as we go along.
I mean, we've read.
You didn't prep for this, did you guys?
We've read this scripture before.
A couple times in my life.
Yes, so Mac has a master in divinity. So he has pastored, and so he's read it a time or two.
But I love how the scripture is just, it's so new. Every time you read it, you can get something different from it.
So something stood out to me in that little section.
Yeah.
It's a pretty small, like, you know, not super dramatic section, but did you notice, and I've noticed this in other parts of the Bible, that in Paul always puts grace before peace.
Hmm.
And so I was just thinking, I think probably that's because we can't really experience true inner peace. And there's like lots of different kinds of peace unless we receive God's grace.
That's interesting.
So peace flows from grace because it's always put. Grace always comes before peace.
You know,
peace.
I never thought of that. And grace, I don't believe there's any accidents. The Holy Spirit didn't just do that by accident.
I never thought of that before either.
You're right.
Grace, but it's in different parts.
Leads to peace.
Yeah, and it always comes first in Paul's writing.
Yeah.
That's so good. That was kind of something that's
rescue us from this present evil age. Mm. I don't think that we have a sense in our sanitized North American society that this is an evil age.
No, I don't think we do. We're kind of numb.
We don't have that enough.
Yeah.
Not that we want to be walking around with billboards and standing on street corners like we saw a guy do the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But, and nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. If that's your jam, if that's your brand.
That's your brand.
But our pastor's wife said that.
Yeah,
but
we heard that in church on Sunday.
You know, I just think there's something to be said for that friendship with the world is enmity towards God.
Mm.
And that means friendship with God should be enmity towards the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, arduously standing up against the world. And I don't think we have that sense. I think we cozy up to the world far too much.
Well, I don't think we
Which minimizes know. Then what Jesus did for us, because if this age isn't that evil, then Jesus' sacrifice wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's the thing?
Totally. And I'm curious then what... So then it's like, well, what constitutes being of the world or fleshy? And
right.
I mean, there's no shortage.
Well, we're going to get to that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We could. That's a big rabbit trail.
Yeah.
We didn't start timing this, but let's keep going. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, then let them be under God's curse. That's an interesting thing, God's cursing. We see that a lot in the Old Testament. I don't see God cursing a lot of people in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about peace and grace and joy and love and not God's curse. But Paul was pretty pretty direct, eh?
Pretty passionate, pretty direct, and that speaks to idolatry too. All of the things we were talking about in the world can be idols, and we've definitely experienced having idols.
Well, that's a good point, because he's addressing people who were tempted to go back to their old lifestyle, their lifestyle of putting security in basically the flesh, right? Because the law was about arduously working your way towards rightness with God, heaven, if they had that concept, through your own human effort and obeying the law, which is really the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot my point there.
Idols,
yes. So security.
We're a little older.
Master of Divinity, too, so folks. That's that's what it'll get you.
no, it's the memory.
No, but that's security. Whatever you put security in can become an idol. Meaning it's the source that you look to give you a sense of safety, a sense of value. And the flesh is big temptation to look to. Right?
But it can be good things,
we can
too.
Keep score with the flesh. Hey, this is what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm going to church this often. I'm praying this often. I'm doing this, that, and the other thing. And, so they were used to putting confidence in being Jewish and being adhering to the law, which Paul was, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in our lives, they can be good things, too, that we idolize, that we find...
Do we have an equivalent of things to go back to after we become Christians? That the Jewish people had to go back to the law? Is there an equivalent, do you think? What are we tempted to go back to after salvation? Well, I know for me, it was going back to, you know, entertaining myself with the world. Sports, movies.
Totally.
Television, social media, whatever.
But it can be...
Not podcasts, though.
No, definitely not podcasts. Especially Christian.
That's allowed. Yeah.
Podcasts, yeah.
But other things.
Lots and lots of podcasts.
So, yeah, there's a temptation to go back to... To things.
But my point, too, is that whatever it is that we go back to for security, it can be seemingly positive things according to the world.
Yeah.
Like for me, exercise was an idol. And so that was, even though exercise is good for you, but I used it in ways that were, they would take the place of God sometimes. Like instead of my spending time in prayer, I would be just hoofing it up a mountain.
I think for me, what really stands out is I can go to the fear of man for a sense of security. What people think of me. And instead of going to God, like initially at salvation, you think, oh, thank you, God. You think this, that, and the other, and you're treating me like a child, and you say, your child, and you save me in grace and all that sort of thing. But then you can go back to caring more what people think of you than what God thinks of you. That's to me what I go back to.
I think that's a daily struggle for humans. Well, that's another rabbit hole we could go down for hours.
I hope that doesn't put me under God's curse.
No,
there's grace for that.
Yeah.
Then he goes on. I don't know how long we're being here.
I don't know either, but...
There's no timer on this thing. I did start... It was only... Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're going to keep going,
There's a timer. It's been 10 minutes. Let's keep going.
Oh, look at that.
Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Well, bang.
Right there.
I swear to you, I didn't read that before I said it. Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. No, because people don't... that doesn't make sense. It's foolishness. The things of God are foolishness to the world, right?
Is that the same as people-pleasing, then? In like a...
If I were still trying to please people...
He's also
people,
a counselor, so is that... You know what I mean? Like... People-pleasing.
Yeah. People-pleasing is a category of the fear of man.
Yeah.
But the fear of man encompasses far more than just people-pleasing.
For sure. But it's part of it.
Caring what people think, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, catering what... Well, let's keep going in chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Boy, wouldn't that be a great thing to be able to claim? Like, everything you know about the gospel of Jesus, you got directly from Jesus. It says in another place, Paul was talking about himself, I think. He says, I know a man who got caught up into the third heaven. It was his humble way of saying, yeah, I had this really cool spiritual experience that nobody else has had, as far as I'm aware. I don't know what that looked like. Was this an out-of-body experience or what? But...
It's not really clear
in
the Bible. Like, we can imagine.
But I think that there's something... Like, everything I think that Jesus did was transferable. So, Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. And I think that's transferable. Like, we can say what the Spirit says, do what the Spirit wants, and in that way glorify God. And I think Paul is also transferable. So... We don't have to have a third heaven experience, but we can have this intimate relationship with God where we hear him through that still small voice. I think it comes through our conscience, and the Holy Spirit, you know, uses our conscience to speak to us.
It's one of the ways.
One of the ways. Not that that's everything. And he doesn't go against his word. We understand that. Lots of ways to hear from God, but I just really think that we can receive a whole lot more directly. And Jesus said... There's more that I want to tell you, but you're not ready, said that to the disciples. So I get that a lot of it was inspired, like he says, and Jesus inspired the apostles and others to write the gospels and the epistles and all that sort of thing. But God is endless. So to think that he's only got things to tell us that are in the Bible, like I know it's don't get me wrong, it's all sufficient. There's everything for life is in here. I'm just saying for our specific lives, he's not gonna contradict the Bible, but he can speak to our personal lives and say, hey, I'd like you to go talk to so-and-so, or I'd like you to start a podcast. Right?
Yeah.
You're not gonna find that in Scripture. That's all I'm saying. And so I want to encourage people to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know right now about the situation or the decision? What do you want me to do? Just listen after you ask. Listen to that inner voice. Because if you're healed from the past, we won't get into that, and you're living a life of integrity, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit. But if you're listening to the world, you're not. To the degree you're listening to the world is the degree you're going to be interrupted, I think, or clouded by the world from hearing the Spirit. Right? So there's got to be a priority. I said to the Lord a while back, I'm going to give you all of my attention because I want you to have all of my affection. Whatever gets your affection gets your attention.
And we're far from perfect in that.
Right. But I'm just saying, live in integrity, live in healed lives, living in unity, those of us married.
Forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
There's a huge opportunity here to hear from the Holy Spirit in ways that are just unique to you. And that's, I think, what we want to leave you with in encouraging you. The Scriptures can talk to you. The Holy Spirit can speak to you through Scripture, through the still small voice, through your partner.
Through music.
In bed.
in bed and with through, pillows.
And through music and other Christians. So God's got lots to say. He is communication. He's the Word, which is communication,
mm-hmm.
right? So listen to him, ask him to speak, and he will. That's a great thought to leave you with. Hey, have a great day wherever you are. Listen to us again, Pillow Talk Devotionals with Mac and Paige.
Night.
Good night.